improving yourself in life. You woke us up this morning, and you've given us, Lord, a reasonable portion of health and strength. In fact, God, we're doing a little better than the world may know. And we pray, God, that you would again meet us in this place, our sanctuary, that we would learn, live, and certainly grow better. We pray, God, to be nourished. We pray, God, to be revived and to have our energy levels raised so that we might run on and see what the end shall be. God, we thank you for defending us and protecting us. We thank you, Lord, for hiding us when necessary. We thank you, God, for these things, for we are incapable of doing them for ourselves. We realize even now, Lord, that the closer we walk with you, the better our lives have become. And so, Lord, we declare as James did, just draw us near. And we know that when we draw near unto you, you will draw near unto us. God, thank you for these who are with us. And we pray, God, traveling mercies for those who are yet on the way. Lord, we ask again, as we so very often do, that you would open our eyes and our ears and make our hearts ready to receive as fertile ground. And God, we pray that what we gather today, we will scatter among others, that they too will know the Christ. Lord, build relationships among us. And Lord, when we have built our relationship, we will show others what we have come to learn and love about Christ. God, we pray these prayers knowing that you not only hear, but you answer each and every one. We thank you for those who are afforded the opportunity to share with us through media outreach. And we pray, God, that even now they will too settle down, that they might hear what you are saying to the church. Forgive us of our sins. And Lord, have mercy. It is in Jesus' name we do pray. And the redeemed of the Lord said, amen, amen, and amen. All right. God bless you. Last week, as we were getting out, we talked about each one of you having a spiritual gift. And the reason we have those, and the emphasis, again, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, brother media guy, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. We were saying that each one of us have those gifts so we can help each other. So we can help each other. Every gift is important in the body of Christ. But let me tell you something that I've discovered, and you can remember this, write it down, or just make a note. The biggest problem with being a fraud is that not only do you know, but other people are going to find out. That's the biggest problem with being a fraud. Saying you're something or saying you got something. I remember in the early 70s, late 60s, 69, 70, somewhere in there, color TV was a real luxury. You know, not everybody had a color TV. And I remember that a program came on, and got to school the next day, all of my friends were talking about the color, the presentation, how beautiful things were. And we didn't have a color TV. We had a black and white TV. What they saw, I didn't see. Same program, but they saw it differently because they saw it in color. And as the conversations go, you know, we on the bus stop, sitting around talking about what we saw. My version wasn't the same. I pretended we had it in color. I pretended to see what other folks saw. But they got to a point where they start talking about details. See, I'm sitting there talking hypotheticals, trying to pretend I saw what they saw. And about a week later, one of my friends came over to my house. Said, let's watch TV. I pretended we had a color TV. Nobody had been in my house. I was a fraud. But when my friend came over and said, let's watch TV, now the truth going to be revealed. I didn't want to turn the TV on because I knew it was a black and white TV. And when I did turn the TV on, my friend said, that's not a color TV. He didn't say what brand it was. He didn't say how big. He said, y'all got a black and white TV. I thought you said y'all had a color TV. I never said we had a color TV, but I described my life or my circumstances as if I had one. And see, that's what's happening to the church. We're going around trying to pretend we see what God is showing us, and we know what God is telling us, and we are what God has described us to be, and we know we're not. God said he gave us gifts, and we know good and well we're not operating in gifts. And we're pretending we're operating in gifts. We're telling folk that we're Christians, and we're telling them that we're disciples, and we're telling them that we're servants, and we're telling them that we're in ministry, and we're and somewhere along the line, you know they're going to find out. And when they do find out, now the lies have to be multiplied, or we just shrink back altogether. And God has given every one of you something. You don't have to pretend. You just got to live up to it. God ain't trying to cheat nobody in this room. And your life is about decisions, determination. Your life, let me tell you another thing, and we're right where we need to be. Let me tell you something. You are never going to walk with God until you start walking with other people. You have to leave some things. It's intended when he comes that separation comes. Now, many of us have a problem trying to hold on to everything we value and then criticize that we have not been enriched in Christ. Because you keep holding on to everything you think is important. The people, the surroundings. You know, I've often said to you that when he said be separate and come out from among them, God is saying this is what's best for you. How many of you remember growing up, your mama or your auntie or somebody telling you, don't hang out with them. Don't let me catch you down there. You knew why. You knew she knew why. But that's where you wanted to be, isn't it? That's where you wanted to be. You didn't want to hang out with the wholesome youngins. You want to go down there with them little ruffians, them little fence jumpers, train robbers, stagecoach robbers, you know. You kept saying to yourself, but it ain't going to be no fun. If I hang out with them, they don't have no fun. Well, let me tell you something. The God that you serve ain't about fun. He's about faith. When you build faith, you'll build something better than fun. If we ask you to stand in line here today and describe how much you love God, you ought to be lost for words, because it's that deep. You got to love him like that. We've read it over and over again, to love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, your whole being. But you're not going to lose like that. You're going to actually gain. And there are few of us that really love God to that level. Remember that we're called to the newness of life. Because we didn't have it no other way. God will forgive your sins. Yes, he will. God will give you a new life. Yes, he will. God will supply all your needs. Yes, he will. You can go down that list, and everything God ever said he'd do, he'd do. The question is, will you do what he asked you to do? Again, we're talking about building up courage. We're talking about being the gift that we are. I know the plans I have for you. Every time I read that, I have to say to God, Lord, I'm sorry. Because I'll raise my hand and admit, I haven't lived up to the excellence of those plans. The old preacher said, and I mean, it's really not biblical, but it sounded good, and so we'll give him half credit for it. But God wants to chisel everything in stone, and we make him write it in pencil. Because he's going to have to erase it. He's going to have to underline it. He's going to take this paragraph and say, well, let's put it down here now. Oh, no, let's put it. Because we are just such a hard-headed people. And we'd rather, and some of you know people who live in pretend. About 7-8 years ago, the media industry discovered something about us, and they exploit it all the time. They call it reality TV. You know that the highest rated shows on television are not documentaries about real stuff. It's reality TV. We eat it up. Real wives, real husbands, the Braxtons, the Kardashians, and people flock to that, and ain't none of it real. Even when they expose it, we still watch it. It's scripted. Big Brothers, Survivor, this house, that house. And we won't even go to Bible study to learn God. But we'll sit there. We know all the characters. We'll know all their foolishness. But we're not clinging to God and the gift that we have. We like to pretend. And God is calling us to a reality. That's why he gave you all this stuff. So you don't think you lack for any good thing. You don't have to run after anything when it's already given to you. You don't have to make a deal when you got a promise. Come on, stay with me. Y'all will write that down. You don't have to make a deal when you got a promise. The devil gonna dangle stuff in your face. Entice you. You can say, I already got that. I got better than that. There's an old saying my sergeant used to say to us when we were soldiers. Why run out for a hamburger when you got a steak at home? You know they're the same cow. That's what he told us. You know they're the same cow. And our problem in the church is we chase hamburger. It takes a little more work, a little more processing to do steak. Hamburger ain't nothing but leftover stuff. It's what was left, and they just like a hot dog. If you eat hot dog, you eat everything off a pig. If you eat bologna, you eat everything off a pig. People, I don't eat pork. You eat bologna and eat hot dogs, and then they got real smart and start making chicken franks. Then they realized, let's grind up all of the chicken and eat that too. God said, no, I gave you something. Now, why did he give it to you? So you can use it. It always amazes me when Christians complain about inadequacies or unfulfilling. When God said, you got that. Remember, we're talking about competence. We're talking about building our courage. I gave them to you. I hope you wrote them all down. Because those are critical things to understand about character development in the body of Christ. Nobody's going to come to you if you're incompetent. How many of you ever changed a doctor because you didn't trust them anymore? How many of you stopped going to a restaurant because you had enough with bad service? Credibility. We don't trust people who aren't credible. I watched the news the other day just like you. They got a nice big picture on the front of the page of Sean Spicer walking down the steps. He stayed longer than I thought he would. That man lost his credibility. And the caption says, where does Sean Spicer go from here? Poor thing. And that's what people say about Christians. Poor Christians. They don't trust us anymore. They don't think we know how to do anything anymore. Our credibility has been compromised due to inconsistency, unfaithfulness, unwillingness. How many of you like working around hard-headed people? Difficult people. Somebody once said that, you ever want to find the stubborn mule, go to the church. You ever want to find a stubborn mule, go to the church. Church folk are some funny people. You have a God who will give you everything and complain that you don't have nothing. And when you do get something, it gets bigger than the God who gave it to you. He said, listen, I've given every one of you a gift so you can help each other. I have asked you to build your courage. I've asked you to become a competent people. Jesus says to the disciples, you don't have anything to worry about because everything you've seen me do, you can do it. Rather than conform to ministry, we'd rather create ministry. Because the stuff God is doing, we don't do that. Again, my pastor told me this years ago, quit asking God to bless what you're doing and do what he's already blessing. That'll save you a whole lot of prayer time. Just do what he's blessing. Instead of trying to get God to bless your thing, just do what he's already blessed in his thing. It's quiet, y'all thinking. Hear me well. Everything God is saying to us is not hypothetical. These are absolute truths. God will forgive our sin. God will give you a new life. God will bless you. God will increase you. God will watch over you. God will bring your children back. God will give you access. You don't have to worry about the secret code. There's a progressive insurance commercial. I looked at it the other day and wrote some notes off of it. Flo and Jamie are standing outside the door trying to come up with a password. Pudding. Hocus. I mean, and the guy walks by and goes, "Hi, guys," and walks right in the room. And them dummies look at each other and go, "Oh, the password is hi, guys." No, push the door open. They're standing there coming up with all these crazy off-the-wall things, and that's what church folks spend too much time on. You already have access to God. And you're standing there trying to figure out God who says, push the door open. You have not, because you pushed the door open. You're trying to tarry, get anointed, go to every conference, find a bishop, find an apostle, get your feet washed, push the door open. You're gifted people. You don't need a hocus, you don't need a password. You just need to push the door open. God is waiting for us to be the people. And so he says, I've given every one of you something so you can help each other. Now, let me give you this one. Biblical principles do not change because you don't like them. God's not going to give you an alternate verse. They don't change because we don't want to adhere to them or don't acknowledge them. Here's what Paul talks about. Paul says, you know, I wish my folk wasn't so ignorant concerning the things of God. Y'all quiet. Tell your neighbor, please wake up. Pastor's trying to help us. Just because you don't acknowledge that God said it, don't mean he didn't say that. Because you won't adhere to it, don't mean he's going to change it. You want your own Bible written for your liking. Well, God, I'd be all right if you didn't say that. No, that's not going to happen. The principles of God are for our benefit. And you want God to be consistent. That's why I trust him. Because what I've seen him do in other folk's lives, that's one of my first chips with God. Lord, I saw you bless Audrey. Lord, I saw you bless Marion. Lord, I saw you bless Mrs. Woodson. And God, I want you to bless me. I don't need what Doris got. I need what I need. But I know where she got it from. I don't have to steal from her or hate her. All I need to do is do what she did. She trusted God. I trust him too. We talked about it on Thursday, about this faith content. You got to have faith. The critical thing for a disciple is faith. And when you trust God, you got to trust him for all of it. See, everybody in this room, got to learn how to trust God. Okay? All right, so let's go over to Mark chapter 12. The Bible says that God is doing some marvelous stuff in our sight. My question to you is, what's your testimony as to what he's doing? Everything God is doing is marvelous. Church ought to be celebrating all the time. We shouldn't have to pump folk up. We shouldn't have to say, come on and bless the Lord. We shouldn't have to ask who loves the Lord. How many of you ever gone to a movie or a restaurant or out on the town or whatever and see a couple holding hands or sitting all, you know they love each other. You can make a good assumption at least that there's something going on there. You know, people riding in the car all close, leaning on one another, sitting on the porch, rocking chairs, holding hands with one another. we were coming from somewhere a little while ago, and my wife looking out the window, I don't know how she noticed it, but there was a couple riding next to us in the car. They were holding hands while they were driving. Man driving with one hand, holding the wife's hand with the other. My wife said, "Look at that." And I looked over and I said, "Well, now." She said, "Well." I said, "I don't drive that good. I need boat money." I told her, "I went to 10 and 2. I'm following the federal law." She just laughed. But, I mean, you can tell. It's obvious. They don't have to say nothing. They're just doing what they're doing. They're just being who they are. Look at the church. We don't know. It's hard to tell who loves God sometimes. It's hard to tell. Because we're doing a whole lot of other things. You know, we when you're in love, you're timely. You're on point. You know, you're consistent. Remember, these are things we talked about. It's in the character. You know, you don't pick a Sunday. Every Sunday is the Lord's. Every Thursday, every Wednesday. All of those, you say, "Ooh, this is what I do." My mother, for years, for 30, I think my mother worked 36 years, I believe it was. She was a custodian. She didn't dress like a custodian. You'd have thought my mother was the principal of the school because she dressed up. My dad used to say all the time, "You know, for a maid, you sure dress up a lot." My mother said, "I'm not a maid, I'm a custodian." But anyway, she unlocked the school. She got that air moaning and unlocked those doors. And Daddy said, "Pickle, it don't make no sense. You running over there?" She said, "If I don't open the door, they can't get in." She was always consistent. Always. And in the body of Christ, you need to think of what God has called you, what your gift is. Oh, they took it down. And know that that's how important it is. If you ain't got but one child in your church school class, it's important enough that you be there for that one child. If you ain't got but one person you pick up on that van run, clean up that van, get that air going, get the seats, and pick up that one person. If you go to rehearsal, if you're the only one at rehearsal, get up there and sing anyhow. Don't look around and go, "Ain't nobody here." You here. Let me tell you something that I've learned. You will never perform well in a group until you perform as an individual. You can't keep looking around wondering what everybody else is going to do. You got to do what you do. Because God called you to do it. It may be a test. Maybe God wants to see if you're consistent. Maybe God wants to see if you got character. Maybe God wants to know if you've been conformed. Because you do know before any man sees you, God sees you. Before any man hears you, God hears you. And God knows the secrets that's in you. I learned years ago that I'm going to love and serve God because I know he know what he know. I'm not worried about y'all. That's why I can stand up here for 5 and same thing for 50. Because I know what he know. And if he going to let me do what I do and he know what he know, I'm going to do good. Yeah. You have a God who has called you, and he said, "Listen, this is the Lord's doing. Everything God is doing is celebratory." It ought to draw us to a place where we say, I can't turn back now. Old folk who sing that song said they've come too far to turn around now. I know too much about him. You can't make me doubt him. Everything God is doing. When you're sick and not dead, that's celebratory. When you ain't got no job, but you're still eating, that's celebratory. When you look at life and you can see the obvious handprint of God, you ought to thank him and praise him. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Not just when you're winning, not just when you get your way, but you ought to acknowledge that God, if you don't forget, if you don't do anything else to celebrate God, always celebrate that your sins have been forgiven. Celebrate that. Don't wait. Don't wait till you get the grand prize. Just keep remembering, well, he forgave my sin. Still didn't get that job, but he forgave my sin. Still ain't got that money, but he forgave my. And every day said, Lord, thank you. Because I'm a sinner saved by grace. And grace is always operational. It's always operational. And so what we're doing now is learning the lesson. The lesson of life. God did not call us to ignorance. Learn of me. I ask this question, and I will ask this question. Not yet. How many of you think you know everything there is to know about God? You think you know everything about your spouse? Otherwise, no. You think you know everything about your sister? No. You think you know everything about your child? No. And you don't want to. Yeah. Don't follow that boy. Don't hire nobody to follow. Amen. You know, we don't all know, all of us in this room, we don't know everything about each other. But God does. And we don't know everything about God. We're still learning God. Some of us are still in the kindergarten of our relationship with God. Some of us, you know, it's amazing how you don't have to tell, a child over and over who their mom and dad is. Once they learn, they never forget that. And there's probably not even a day when you remember saying, now this your mama, you know, unless you brought one home. You bring one, and this here going to be your paw from now on. Come on, let's practice. You know, in the natural order of things, we learn. Nobody ain't going to tell us don't do it. And any child that has learned will argue with you if you try to change what they've learned. How many of you have ever been in a situation or circumstance in your family where there was and I don't like that term stepfather, stepmother. But there's some other issues that might have taken place. And then a revelation comes late in life. And they'll say, listen, they've been my mama all this time. That's the only mama I've ever known. That's the only part. You know, and because what? There's consistency. There's some character that's been developed. There are some conformities that have happened. How many of you know people who are again, I don't like that step, but they have been together. So they look like. I don't know what they told you, but you sure look like him. You know that old saying every judge would tell every father, well, just keep feeding them, they'll look like you. But we start to conform. We start to pick up mannerisms and habits. And what I'm telling you is you got to learn God. You don't learn God by coming around every now and then, opening up the book every now and then, when it's convenient. It amazes me how relevant God becomes when people's lives spin out of control. There's a little note I keep on my desk said, they're going to need a preacher. They're going to need a preacher. Oh, yeah, it's going to come a day. Somebody's going to ring that phone. Reverend, can you bury? Reverend, can you come bless? Reverend, can you come pray? We need a word. This family. Yeah, God has always been relevant. You've just been reckless. You just been a renegade. Remember those lessons I taught you way back? You have been a renegade. You've been a rebel. You've been refusing. You know, it was about 7 of them I gave them to you. Y'all done forgot them? But that's what happens to us. But we want God to show up. He got to show up big. We chant and pray and rub oil on ourselves and dance and jump up and down because we need God to be God. He's always been God. It's just that you haven't learned him. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. That's Jacob's language. You know what Jacob said? I was so blindsided by what was happening to me that I stopped looking at God. It took a crisis for me to find out again who always was. Surely what the Lord is doing in your life is marvelous in his sight. God knows what he's doing with you. God knows he's blessing you. God knows that he's bringing you to a better place. Not dying. You don't have to die to get your pie in the sky. You can live in this marvelous life. And God is saying to every one of us, listen, let me tell you something. I want to show you something. I want to say something. I want to strengthen you. But you can't refuse me. I have given you gifts. Now I want to see you do something with them. How many of you have ever given somebody something of value, and when you came around, you say, where's that computer at? Where's that laptop? Where's that, and oh, no. How many of you ever done that? How many of you have invested in somebody's life and didn't get a return? My daddy used to say to me, Eric, the more I teach y'all, the dumber I get. All he was saying was, I don't see the fruit. I'm buying you things. I'm getting all this stuff around here y'all say y'all need, and I don't see nothing. And the reality for us in the body of Christ, how are we going to let men glorify our Father when they don't see no works? Let your light so shine that when men see. Folk ain't seeing nothing out the church. They're calling us hypocrites. They're saying we're phony. They're saying we don't know what we're doing. And we're sitting back just looking at them going, a little drool right here. So, ain't no so. You got to be credible. You got this gift. You got all of this God stuff. Not just some of you, every one of you. And let me tell you something. Let me tell you why your children start chasing out the foolishness. Because you don't tell them what they already got. I look at my kids sometimes, and I'm sure you look at yours, and ask yourself, whose child is this? But when they do well, you proud of it. I used to go to my boys were playing softball, baseball, Deacon Anderson, when they were younger. And I used to go to their games, man. I was so proud of them cats, man. They were out there, you know, shortstopping and center fielding and making plays and getting hits. Man, I'd be jumping up and down. And they, you know, they got where, you know, they picked up some of their dad's little thing. You know, they'd get a nice hit, they'd run to the base. And so I said, that's your son? Yes, sir. After a while, people stopped asking me, were those my boys? No, they start saying, man, I know you proud. See, I have to do nothing. They knew. You know, they're the Mitchell boys, and they were bad too, man. Everything they did, they kind of did together. But they were fruitful. It was energetic. No question about it. I wonder when the last time you gave God a, and he gave you a. See, we sitting around lollygagging, goofing off, watching the church die. And it's all on us. And yet we're complaining about how we're dying instead of celebrating how we ought to be living. And you don't chase after what you already have. Train up your child. Let them know that in the body of Christ, you got everything. And then I look at them and they started fading. I'm like, well, what's wrong? What happened? Man, Dad, I just don't want to do that no more. Why? I'm finding something else to do. And what they substituted for was nothing like what they had. And then you get old in life. And how many of you have gotten old enough now to say, man, I wish I should have kept doing. I should have worked a little harder. I should have. Yeah, come on, talk to me. You still had the gift. And God's gift are not with repentance. He don't have to repent for giving it to you. You have a God who's saying to you even right now, it's not too late. Again, let's look at what we learn from vine dressers. Let's look at what we learn from the reapers. They don't throw away anything. All of it is useful. All of it is, everything God is doing in your life is about fruitfulness. Remember, we talked about it some time ago, productivity. If you're not producing, you're dying. If there's no fruit for you, ain't no fruit for nobody else either. If you're hungry, the household gonna be hungry. Sacrificial. Surrender. substance. God is calling for all of those things. God shouldn't be looking at us going, what is that? That's the best you could bring me? How many of you ever wrestled over what you're going to give to somebody else because it represented you? How many of you ever gave something and stood back and couldn't wait till they got to yours? How many of you ever did a presentation? You're on your job and everybody's doing a little presentation. You couldn't wait to get up there. And you remember that moment when you were saying, man, I don't want to go behind him. Y'all remember that? Some of y'all ain't never worked nowhere. When you knew you were next and your next wasn't as good as what you just saw. Or you knew you being next gonna make him look bad. You said, okay, go ahead. Or you would tell him, go ahead, you go first. Because you wanted to bring the finish. Because you know what you had. God says, I know what I gave you. You're the head and not the tail. And we spend a lot of our lives trying to go to the back. You're the excellence of Christ. Every one of you. See some of y'all looking around. You hear him, not me. No, he just did what was necessary. And he didn't do anything more than you could have done. Tell soldiers that all the time. 2 miles is 2 miles to everybody. 17 minutes is 17 minutes to everybody. It's just, what will you do with it? I can't remember that guy. I think it's Walt Whitman. One of somebody made that little saying, you know, the day that you're born is one thing, but then realizing why you were born, that's when you really come into something. You know, you can celebrate the being born, but when you realize why you were born, that's something. And every one of you has a why. Gifts. Every one of you. Every one of you are sitting in this room not by chance, but because of a calling. See, you missed your shout right there. Don't stop thinking you're just bumping around through life. You are on a designated course. The Bible says he orders our steps. Stop thinking you just go to Brookville. Stop thinking you just go to Bible study. Stop thinking you just work there. God has you on an assignment. And if you ever want to enjoy where you are and what you're doing and who you're doing it with, know it's a gift from God. The person sitting next to you, that's your gift. That's part of your. No, y'all don't sit by each other no more. Too much gifting right here. You got to realize, no. See, you're not that smart. You're not that calculating. Even where you are now in life, it wasn't all because you're that smart. It was favor. It was God's fortune. It was God rigging some stuff. How many know God has rigged some stuff in your life? Yeah. Some of us, the only reason we're still alive is because God moved some stuff, stopped some stuff, hid you sometimes, covered for you. The devil been trying to kill you, and God keep hiding you. The devil said, I thought sure she'd be here tonight. You're on an assignment. See how you felt right along through there? That's how you ought to feel all the time. When you look at your husband or wife or your children next time, instead of saying, I don't know why, tell them, I know why. If God hadn't put me with you, you'd be dead. Amen. If God hadn't put me with you, you'd be hungry. God hadn't put me with you, your feet would be hurting. You wouldn't have a place to sleep if God hadn't put me with you. And let them know it. Say, you know, God put us together. Oh, we bumped into each other, but God had something working all the time. How many know right now that you're living beyond your own expectations? Yeah. When the Bible said, I haven't seen, ear hadn't heard, he's talking to all of y'all. He said, but there's something special about them who fall in love with God and know that this is about purpose. Yeah, thank you. Some of y'all getting to this side over here dragging their feet.
I'm telling you now that the elect that God put upon your life ain't got nothing to do with you thinking about it. Nudge your neighbor and tell him, you ain't that smart. The yielded life is a blessed life. When you just give it over to God. Listen, let's look at those fishermen. Let me make sure. Look at those fishermen. They out minding their business on a given day. Didn't have a good day. They coming on in. They said, man, you know, it's been a bad day. We've been doing it. They didn't just start. They weren't novice. They were good at it. And they come on in and they just want to go home. And there's Jesus. Jesus said, can I borrow your boat for a minute? Do a little quick preaching. And he said, let's go back out there. And they look at him. First of all, they probably say, you ain't from around here. Where your boat at? How many of y'all ever did that? Somebody asked you something, you want to ask them about their stuff. Come on, y'all talk to me. You want to go fishing, you ain't bring no boat. That woman did him like that at the well. She said, give me a drink. She said, you don't even have nothing to dip with. She missed all. He said, I asked you, you don't do that. You know, he said, woman, give me the drink. She said, the well is deep. Well, who don't know wells are deep? You know, Jesus ain't dumb. I mean, she said, and you seem to have no utensils with you. You don't have anything. You really expect me to get, we don't even get along with it. She's doing all of the things. I told y'all last week, don't miss how God's trying to bless you by not paying attention to the story. You know, they said, Lord, we got to go pay our taxes. Jesus said, well, let's go fishing. They said, excuse me, Lord, we said, let's go fishing. I told you, God still moves like God. Your problem is you're trying to get God to do what's usual, and God's trying to make you unusual. Because unusual gets attention. People start ignoring usual. How many of you have been driving along the road for years and then finally noticed something? You became usual. How many of you go up 29? I know Brother McKenzie's already seen this. He go 29 often. Well, I come up 29 the other day, and they're tearing down sheets. And I said to myself, what in the world? First, it looked like maybe there'd been an accident or something. I said, what happened? I thought sheets blowed up or something. And then I said, what are they doing? The very next day in the newspaper, there's a front page article. They're going to tear down what looked like a perfectly good sheets to me to build another sheets in the same place. You know how much money it costs to tear down a sheets? No, I'm asking, how much does it cost? But they're going to tear it down. They didn't say why, really. They didn't say it was at asbestos. They didn't say that, you know. They're going to tear it down. Okay, here's my point. Some of y'all think y'all just fine. But God needs to tear you down and build you back in the same Brookville. Some of y'all think God got to move you. No, God needs to tear you down and put you in the same place. And it ain't really all about you. It's all about him. See, y'all missing. You got something already. God is saying, I need to work this for you again. I need to break you up a little bit so you can re-see yourself. I know it's not really re-see, but so you can see yourself again. So you can do like Paul said. Paul said, for now, it's in the Corinthian letter, we see through a glass darkly. And right now we don't know. How many know you don't know? Let me tell you something. Mrs. Woodson's birthday is coming up in a little while. How old will you be this time, Mrs. Woodson? How old? 96. Yeah. Listen, when I turn 96, y'all clap better than that. Okay. 96. But you don't think God still got some stuff for Doris Woodson? Ain't about cake and candles. All of y'all in this room need to realize something. God has every right to do a change order in your life. And he don't need your permission. Here's our problem. Many of us get comfortable. Think we done made it now. We done made it to the CEO chair. Or we done married good. And now the children are gone. And we're thinking about retiring. And God is saying, you need a revival. Why do you think God keeps trusting you with more and you want to do less? Why do you think your barns are full and yet you want to go on siesta? Y'all ain't talking to me. No matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, I looked at this young fella last Sunday, I almost didn't recognize him. He done cut his hair, he picking up a little weight there, you know. I said, that's Christian. Some of y'all need to recognize right now that God making some changes in your life. And don't resist them. Don't say, no, I'm happy like I am. I told y'all a long time ago, there's a thing called divine dissatisfaction. It ain't about complaining and whining to God. It's saying, God, if this is happening, then do that. Man, God, if we here, how about let's go there? And don't ever travel alone. Always bring somebody with you. Grab a son, a daughter, a friend, a neighbor, and say, come on, we're going to get blessed together. Come on, you're going to be my partner. We said years ago, I tried to get all our leaders to grab you somebody to be the next you. Not you in person, but you in ministry. You in purpose. That word got stuck for a minute. But you in purpose. I got to find my next. I just had a great meeting the other day with young Mr. Anderson, and I got to find my next preacher. That's part of my responsibility. Find my next preacher. Find the next trustee. Find the next deacon. Find the next son, the next husband, the next father. I want my son's marriage to be better than mine was. So I got to be critical when he chooses poorly. Yeah, I have a right to say, man, you don't need her. She ain't got no potential. Don't look like it's there with that one, son. Look for quality. Some of us just sit back and go, let them make their own decision. You're going to let them run out. Remember how you used to protect them when you didn't want them to run out in the street and get hit by a car? Keep doing that. Remember how you kept stuff off the hot stove? Keep doing that. My mother says this to me all the time. You'll always be my baby. Much to the chagrin of my brothers and sisters. I'm her favorite. I know that. Everybody knows that. I've always been the favorite. I was my great-grandma's favorite. I'm my grandma's favorite. I'm my mom's favorite. I'm Sister Mitchell's favorite. Amen goes right there. Yes. You do know I carry a weapon. You know, and so I know I'm God's favorite. And I want people to see what God is doing so I can tell them he'll do it for you too. How many remember this when you were a child, one of your brothers, siblings, cousins came out the house with a popsicle? What's the first thing you said? Okay, a lot of y'all said different stuff. Here's what I would say. Where you get that from? Do they have any more? That's why God's trying to bless y'all. So the world, we can fill up this church with people saying, where you get that from? You think I can get one? And how about this? When you went in the house, what was your testimony? What was your declaration? You gave Wanda one. Grandma, can I have one of them? You gave Wanda one. If they said no, you said you gave James one. Grandma said, he got what? That little rascal done stole a popsicle. Because she didn't know he had it. James! Get in here! Who told you going to get that popsicle? Uh-huh. You know, if you keep licking it, they don't want it back. How many of y'all ever did that with your siblings and cousins? Put your hand in their food so they don't want it back. And they fooled you and said, well, I can eat that too. God has no respect to a person. He wants the next minister. He wants the next deacon. He wants the next trustee. Every one of you in this room should be doing something that's marvelous in his sight. Your character should be that of Christ. You were created in the image and likeness of God. Don't deviate from that. Don't dumb it down. Disciple up. Those fishermen, back to those fish, they were out there, and so Jesus said, go on back out there. And so they, you know, I bet y'all thought I forgot about them. So they go on back out there and had the best day of their life. And it's on the day that they had the best day of their life that Jesus said, it's the last day you'll do that. Y'all missed the point. Some of you are so enamored with your success that you're afraid to give God a chance with the unknown. You think you've reached the pinnacle now and you ought to just chill out from there. No, God is saying, oh, you think that's something. And here's what you will discover. We don't know them just because they were fishermen. We know them because they walk with God. No, nobody's going to care that you worked at Kroger all your life or most of your life. What they will testify about is your walk with God. Because a lot of people will never know that you were there. Lynchburg College, Tecma, training school, you know, all of them places, y'all name them. Who cares? When you stand before God, there is not a Nelson County heaven. All the administrators in it, and you don't want to go to heaven and be with them people. You're probably thinking, when I go to heaven, I ain't got to see some of y'all. You don't want to go to a Kroger heaven, a Lynchburg College heaven. You know, you want to go to God's heaven, where those who have been faithful get their reward. Therefore, laid up for me is the crown that's given on that day. There is no crown from corporate America. They don't have a crown. God's going to say, boy, you did good. I'm proud of you. That which you've seen me do, now go do greater. And God is saying, every one of you, be vine dressers. Here's what the Bible says. The harvest is plentiful. How many of you know lazy people? Write the name down and pass it forward. Especially if they're in this room. Watch this. He said, Lord, what you're doing is marvelous in our sight. Again, Mark 12, 11. Lord, we're excited about what you're doing. How many of you are excited about what God is doing? Then it ought to be obvious. Again, we shouldn't have to wait for somebody to sing just the right song or preach just the right sermon. Or we ought to be so happy in the Lord all the time. That's why our testimonies are so different, because we're bragging and boasting about God. We're letting the world know we have access to God. How many of you ever had a hookup? Yeah, because somebody had access. You said, listen, can you get me in? They said, oh, yeah, I know somebody. I know how to get to God. I know how to get you in. Just hold on. I got you. Vine dressers, you know that this is my responsibility. It's going to be the best because God gave it to me. And everything God gives you, you're accountable for it. You're a steward. You don't own nothing. How many of you found that lesson out the hard way at one or two times in your life that you really didn't own anything? You made all them payments, missed the last three, and they came and got it. You lived in that house all of those years. My house, my house, my house. And you got sick. Had to file bankruptcy. And they said, you got to move. You're not even a captain of your own life. How many of you ever said this? I don't want to get sick. I can't be sick this week. I can't lose my job. I can't believe my marriage falling apart. Just don't say nothing. You didn't ask for that. How many of you ever asked for calamity, a crisis, conflict, a confrontation? How many of you ever said, why is this happening to me? How many of you have done everything you know how to do to not let it happen and it happened? You don't control nothing. You don't make the sun come up. Those of you who are planning a good cookout, I always laugh at the weatherman. Well, I don't always laugh at it. But the weatherman on WSCT 13, he's a funny guy because he always says, if you have afternoon plans, or if you have plans, you want to go out early. You can plan all you want. That ain't going to stop that rain from coming. You know, he says stuff like, well, if you have afternoon plans, don't cancel them because there'll be a little, you know, you can say all you want to. I was outside yesterday and, you know, we had a little family dinner, you know, and we had a timely manner. It's hot out there. You know, it's hot, man. It's hot. You know, and so the storm, you can see it coming. Then it started lightning. Nothing I can do about it. Of course, I thought to myself, man, we've eaten and cleaned up. We beat this one. But ain't nothing you can do to stop that. Ain't nothing you can do. You are all under manipulation. God is in control. So would it not make better sense to be doing more of that God stuff than trying to do your stuff? Instead of protesting with God, partner with him. Say, Lord, whatever you're doing, that's what I want to do. You have a God who says to you, I got something for you. You're predestined. This stuff is worked out in the heavens. Old folk used to tell you, you know, that the Lord moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. They're right. But we've come now in a generation where we want the script. And if we don't like it, we said, no, there ain't no God. No, I don't like the way God working. So he can't be. I don't like what God's saying, so he can't be. This ain't supposed to be like this, so he can't be. No, it is. The earth is the Lord's. See how quiet everybody is? You don't control nothing. You can't make nothing happen. You don't even know how you work. Amen. You don't know how you work. Anybody here got a PhD in biology? No. Anatomy or none of that? No. You don't even know how you work. You don't even know how when you reach something, you can feel it. Or when you see something, you can walk to it. You don't know. You don't even know how you don't know how walking works. You just know you do it. How many of you ever had a headache and thought doing this was going to do something? No, all you know is now your hands can touch your head. Or you take a little towel, you know, you do stuff other people told you works. Try this. You done ate garlic, drank vinegar. You know, all you high blood pressure, people who don't want to act like you got high blood pressure. Around here drinking vinegar and garlic and standing on your head and all that kind of stuff. Stop eating that stuff them people told you not to eat. Those of us who don't want to admit we're getting old. You know, we trying to act like we still can. We know we can't. And so rather than say we can't, we just say we don't want to.